From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Michelle Norris.
I'm Melissa Block. And we're going to continue now with David Kestenbaum's story on the failure of the 17th Street Canal in New Orleans.
Bob B. is a tall, sinewy engineer with bright eyes who still uses a bulky calculator from the 1970s. He's a professor at the University of California, Berkeley, but he knows New Orleans well. He lived there when he was chief offshore engineer for Shell Oil. And he knows hurricanes. During Betsy, he'd had to swim to his house. After Katrina, Bob B. and some colleagues got funding from the National Science Foundation to try to figure out why the levees failed. So he went to New Orleans, and in his hotel room, he went over the Army Corps' original designs for the canal.
The TV wasn't working because there wasn't any television station, so I just sat down with a desk calculator, a pencil, and a piece of paper.
When he did his calculations, he came up with something he found disturbing. Some engineers agree with him, others don't. But here it is. Bob B. says the designer's original tests showed a weak layer of soil. It was under the earthen mound that would support the new wall, and by his calculations, this layer was weak enough to make the wall unstable, barely strong enough to hold back water at Katrina levels. He says the designers should have spotted the weak soil layer and upgraded their design. The Army Corps requires that flood walls be designed 30% stronger than they need to be to hold back the water, what engineers call a factor of safety of 1.3. B says for this section of the wall, the margin was zero.
I calculated a factor of safety of 1.0.
How did you feel when you came up with that number?
I felt sick to my stomach. You have to remember that I survived flooding here before in Hurricane Betsy. Now, as I can calculate today, that we have recreated something in which a lot of other people are now in that pain. I felt sick.
The original designers did take soil samples every few hundred feet, but B says they then took an average, which smoothed over the weak spots as if they didn't exist.
That's a long horizontal average over a long swamp.
Bobby is not the only one saying these things. Two engineers with a separate investigation, funded by the state of Louisiana, reached the same conclusion. Their point of view got a lot of attention in the press. These are pretty serious allegations, and NPR tried to get to the bottom of them. The original soil testing was performed by a contractor, Eustis Engineering. We called and sent registered letters to the company. We finally reached the man who had signed off on the soil report. His name is Lloyd Held. He said, quote, "This will be litigated in court, not decided on the radio," end quote, and hung up. So we did the next best thing. We went over the documents with several geotechnical engineers at what are regarded as the best university programs in the country. And while they found the averaging somewhat troubling, they did not see it as a smoking gun. Geotechnical engineers say their work involves judgment calls and that not every weak measurement means the soil really is weak.
So right now I'm raising our load frame to make sure...
You know Tom Brandon is a geotechnical engineer when he gives you his phone number. It spells out D-I-R-T. Brandon works at Virginia Tech, and he's part of the massive $20 million official government investigation into what went wrong. As part of that effort, engineers took new soil samples by the 17th Street Canal breach, and they tested them to see how strong they are. Brandon takes a sample of clay-like soil about the size of a small can of soup. Then he pulls out a box of Trojans. Yep, condoms. He carefully slips a condom over the soil so it stays dry.
It works out very well. For one, they're very thin, on the order of 2/1000ths of an inch thick, and quality control is very high.
He puts the sample in a tank filled with water. He pressurizes the tank so the soil feels the pressure it would feel underground. Then a vise gradually squeezes the soil. Eventually, it gives way. This kind of work and other tests led the government investigation to conclude that the original designers had judged the soil strengths about right. The soils under the canal wall were not dangerously weak, as the critics had said. If that's the case, why did the wall fail? The government report says the wall failed for a different reason that's not in engineering textbooks. The explanation goes like this. When Katrina hit, the water rose in the canal and pushed the wall outward toward people's homes. The wall tilted, maybe just a few inches, but enough to open up a gap between the base of the wall and the earthen mound that anchored it. The water would have rushed down into the gap and pushed against the full surface of the wall. Mike Duncan wrote a textbook on soils, and he's working on the official investigation. The team's calculations showed a gap would weaken the structure by a sizable 25%.
Well, then we realized that that was an important issue.
I mean, that's sort of understating it, right?
Yeah. We could see this happening kind of on paper and in the numbers. And it's very significant, I think, that in the models, that turns out to be exactly the way the failure occurred.
This official investigation did not exonerate the original designers, though, because the team also found a second problem as well. Remember that a whole chunk of the wall and earth broke loose like a landslide. The government team concluded the slipping happened in part because of something in people's backyards, a soft layer of clay. The clay layer was strong under the weight of the levee, but much weaker in people's backyards, and the weak part helped the wall to slide. Just about everyone says the Corps should have known about the weak clay. Here's David Daniel. He's leading a respected independent team brought in by the government to monitor its own investigation. The team was appointed by the American Society of Civil Engineers.
This is just one of those sort of soil mechanics 101 sorts of principles that every educated person in this field knows.
His team wrote a tough letter to the head of the Army Corps of Engineers. It said the Corps' own research had hinted at the possibility of a gap opening up at the base of the wall. And it agreed with critics like Bob Bee. It said the Corps had designed things too close to the edge.
We saw a rather disturbing pattern. Our concern is not so much that any one piece or facet of the design was necessarily incorrect, but rather when you added all the pieces up, it did not paint a picture of conservatism appropriate for a critical life safety structure.
The Army Corps in general has shied away from talking about who is to blame. I went to see Colonel Murray Starkle, second in command for the New Orleans District. We talked about the official investigation, about the gap that might have been caught, and the weak clay in people's backyards that was missed.
Yes. I think there we can say that there were some problems with our initial design.
You hear people who are really pissed at the Corps. What do you say to those people?
I would say that we're sorry for what happened and for their loss to their property and those that lost loved ones, but that we are doing everything within our power, our authority, and our funding limits that Congress gives us to build them a much better system.
Colonel Starkle is urging people to come home to New Orleans. Some people are. George Sins, the man who lived by the 17th Street Canal and found turtles in his swimming pool, is rebuilding. He feels like he'll be protected by the new floodgate at the end of the canal. But the area has hundreds of miles of levees. Like the 17th Street Canal, they had not one designer, but many. The Army Corps, Congress, the local parish levee boards. Residents will have to decide if they trust that fractured system for the long haul. It could be 100 years before the next big hurricane hits New Orleans. David Kestenbaum, NPR News.
You can watch a simulation of the 17th Street Canal wall breaking and read letters and reports from the investigators at npr.org.